My dear viewers, welcome again to a new episode of our program, Questions About Faith. It is our pleasure to meet you again, and it is also our pleasure to have with us Reverend Father Zakaria Boutros. You're most welcome, Father.
Thank you.
Previously, we have discussed many topics, and we will continue with them now. The subject of our last discussion was the impossibility of distorting the Bible. I would like you, as before, to give us a brief summary of what has been covered the previous time in order to follow with you this time.
Well, of course, we have been talking about the Holy Scriptures as being revealed by God by the testimony of the Bible itself and by the testimony of the Quran. Well, the Bible is a message of love from God to show the way of salvation to all sinners. It shows man how God may accept him because he loves him, and that Christ died on the cross as redemption and atonement. So here the Bible reveals all these things, the mysteries of the faith. So whoever wants to relate to God and whoever wants to know the way to God must know the Bible. Therefore, Satan fights the Bible with all possible infernal power. He neither wants the people to read the Bible nor open the Bible, so he accuses it of anything. He accuses it even of distortion, so that nobody would touch it. But we thank God, as we have spoken and said before, there are verses in the Quran testifying yes to the authenticity of the Bible and its freedom from alteration. We mentioned Surah 5, verse 47. We have sent you down the book with the truth to confirm what was already there from the previous book and to safeguard it. So the Quran at Muhammad's time said that the Bible was authentic to confirm what was already there from the book. Had it not been true, it wouldn't have been so. This had been repeated many more times in about 12 to 13 surahs, as we know. And moreover, there's something else. It shows that God commands the Prophet Muhammad and the Muslims to refer to the Bible. Would he then refer them to a distorted book? Impossible. Then it wasn't distorted. In Surah 10, verse 94, if you are in any doubt concerning what we have sent down to you, then ask those who have read the book before you. That is, refer to them and they will tell you. Had it been distorted, how would he refer him to them? And what would they tell him?
On the contrary, there would have been a warning instead.
Yes, wouldn't it? Yes. Those are the ones to whom we have given the book along with discretion and prophethood. Such are the ones whom God has guided, so copy their guidance. That is, walk after them according to their guidance or direction. He commands them to refer to the people of the Zikr. And in Surah 16, verse 43, before you, we have only sent men whom we have inspired. So ask the people of the Zikr if you don't know.
It has been repeated twice, this phrase, ask the people of the Zikr.
Most certainly. And again, Muhammad himself testifies in Quranic verses of the Torah and the Injil, which is the Gospel, which were at his time, that they were sound, and as evidence. Let's have a look at the following verse, Surah 28:49. Say, bring a book from God's presence, which will be a better guide than either of them, so I may follow it.
What does he mean here by than either of them?
The Torah.
And the Injil.
The Injil. And in Surah 5 it says, say, people of the book, you will not make any point until you keep up the Torah and the Gospel. Had they been tampered with,
how would he exhort them to keep them up?
He is the judge. And in Surah 5 again it says the following, how can they choose you as judge when they have the Torah, which contains God's judgment?
This means the judgment of the Torah and the Injil was valid and in effect.
And that was true at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. And as an evidence, he was wondering why people are choosing him for a judge, although they have the judgment of God. So how could they have been tampered with at Muhammad's time? And in Surah 5, 47, it says, let the people of the Gospel judge. That was the Torah. How can they choose you as judge when they have the Torah, which contains the judgment of God? But here it says, let the people of the Gospel judge by what God has sent down in it. So then, at Muhammad's time, The gospel was in existence, and it contained the judgment of God, and it was revealed by God. Had it been otherwise, Muhammad would have said that it was tampered with. The Quran even testified... Yes, please go ahead.
I was just wondering if there are any other verses.
Yes, the Quran testifies that the people of the book preserved it, that is the Bible, and they were witnesses of it till Muhammad's time. This is the Quran's testimony. How is that? Surah 5, verse 44. What does it say? We have sent down the Torah containing guidance and light. The prophets who were committed to peace, judged by those who were Jews by means of it, and so do the rabbis and the scholars, because of what they sought to observe from God's book. They have even acted as witnesses for it.
The expression here is istawfidhu, clearly means that they observed it perfectly.
What they sought to observe. Isn't that right? What is the meaning of this verse regarding the prophets who were committed to peace? Commentators say that they were the prophets who committed their lives to God's will. Aslamu, here in Arabic, does not mean those who embraced Islam, because Islam had not emerged yet. Aladina aslamu means those who committed their lives to God. That has been said by Imam Abdullah Yusuf Ali, page 261 in his translation of the meanings of the Quran. After that, in Surah 2, 146, and Surah 6, verse 20, it says, those to whom we have given the book know it just as they know their own sons. By the way, in the previous verse, which says entrusted, I mean sought to preserve it. That is explained also by Imam Abdullah Yusuf Ali, saying those who have been entrusted with the preservation of the Book of God and with being witnesses to its authenticity, That's in the book of Imam Yusuf Ali, page 261 and 262.
This way there's no room for doubt that the Holy Bible has not been tampered with before Muhammad.
No way.
And now we have established from the Quran that the Bible has not been distorted before the emergence of Muhammad.
Oh, most definitely.
I would also like you to answer those who claim that the distortion of the Bible occurred after the time of Muhammad.
Yes, of course. We have given two assumptions.
Either before or after.
So before Muhammad is now ruled out by the evidence of Muhammad's citation with verses and...
by the testimony of the Quran.
That was simple. So now to the second alternative, that it had been after Muhammad. There's nothing else. Let's look into that. The occurrence of distortion after Muhammad. Did it happen or not? To start with, the Quran testifies to the Holy Bible that it is a reminder from God. Zikr. Does the Quran testify to the Bible that it is a reminder from God? Or does it testify to itself only as being a reminder from God?
No.
The Injil, the Gospel, and the Torah are both zikr from God. Zikr. Surah 21, verse 7 says, before you, we have sent only men whom we have inspired. So ask the people of the zikr if you don't know.
Well, a short pause here. The word zikr here must mean the Holy Bible, the Torah, and the Injil.
Exactly.
Namely, the verse coming after that saying, we have sent down the zikr and we are safeguarding it, indicates the Torah and the Injil.
Most certainly so. And that's what we are coming around to. Surah 16, verse 43. Before you, we have only sent down men whom we have inspired. So ask the people of the zikr if you don't know. Has been repeated in 21, verse 7 and in 16, verse 43. This confirms the meaning, and the Quran testifies that God safeguards the zikr from distortion, since the Torah, the Injil, and the Bible are zikr, not only the Quran. Then Surah 15, verse 9 applies to it. Some people mispronounce it al-Hajar, but this is wrong. It's called al-Hijr, because Hijr was a mountain. So it's Surah al-Hijr, verse 9. We ourselves have sent down the zikr, just as we are safeguarding it. Safeguarding it, isn't it? So the zikr here must be the Bible.
Certainly.
Alongside with the Quran. As a matter of fact, those who challenge the Bible as false, those who call it into question, must unfortunately challenge the Quran.
How's that?
Oh, well, the Quran says the holy scriptures are zikr, and God preserves the zikr. So if they claim that the holy Bible has been distorted, then they also challenge the Quran as false, since God did not safeguard the reminder. So they clash with it here, don't they?
Yes.
So anyone who challenges the Bible should be aware, should know what he's talking about. Otherwise, he'd be challenging his own holy scriptures as false. Is that clear?
Yes, clear.
Okay. There are Quranic verses testifying that the Quran itself safeguards the Holy Bible. Namely, God safeguards the Bible from distortion, and the Quran safeguards the Bible from distortion. How's that? Surah 5, verse 48. We have sent you down the book, that is the Quran, with the truth to confirm what was already there from the previous book, that is the Torah and the Injil, and to safeguard it. And what does safeguarding it mean? Here we come to the commentary in the book of Imam Abdullah Yusuf Ali, page 263. He explains this word safeguarding it in the surah as follows. That is, preserving it from distortion.
Please, this one again, Father.
Imam Abdullah Yusuf Ali, in his book Interpretation of the Meanings of the Quran into English, page 263, he interprets the verse from 5:48, where safeguarding it occurs, and says, safeguarding it, that is, preserving it from distortion.
Because some of our beloved ones interpret safeguarding it totally different, and that requires another topic, we will dedicate a whole session for that.
We will fall back on the commentators.
This is not our own interpretation. It is the interpretation of their own scholars.
Their own recognized scholars and jurisprudence. The Quran also testifies that the Holy Bible is the Word of God, and therefore it cannot be tampered with or altered. Does the Quran testify that the Holy Bible is the Word of God or the Word of man?
The Word of God, of course.
And how's that? In Surah 29:46, do not argue with the people of the book unless it is in the politest manner. Say we believe in what has been sent down to us. That's the Quran. And what has been sent down to you. That's the Torah and the Injil. Sent down. So the Torah and the Injil are the Word of God inspired to the prophets. Isn't that right? Inspired. Now, Surah 4, verse 139. You who believe, believe in God and His Messenger, and the book which He has sent down to His Messenger. That's the Quran. So far, so good. Pay attention to the following. As well as the book which He has sent down previously, and that's the Torah and the Injil. Anyone who disbelieves in God and His angels, His books and His messengers, and the last day will stray far afield.
That is all the previous messengers and all the inspired books prior to the Quran.
It's a testimony that they are the Word of God. This is very evident. Well, as the book which He had sent down previously, that's the Torah and the Injil. Do you know how many times this verse has been repeated in the Quran? I tell you. Surah 5, 68, 46, 47, and 44.
Here's a little bit that I memorized from a long time ago, and that is in the concluding verses of the Surah 2. They made us learn it by heart and repeat it so often. The messenger believes in what has been sent down to him from the Lord, and so do believers. Everyone believes in God and His angels, His books and His messengers. We do not differentiate between any of His messengers.
Do you see? There are many things, many such things. In Surah 5 alone, there are four verses to that effect, 44 and 46 and 47 and 68. The same thing about sending down of the books that had been sent down previously. Surah 2, verse 146 and 87, Surah 17, verse 2 and verse 55, Surah 6, verse 92 and verse 156, and Surah 23, 49, and Surah 4, 163, and Surah 35, 25, and Surah 16, 43, and Surah 21, 25, and Surah 57, 27, and Surah 29, 46.
Where then have they come up with such accusations?
And Surah 10, 94, all testifying that the Holy Scriptures are inspired by God. Yes, okay. And I want to say something. Sent down by God means His own words. Okay, would the Word of God be changed and altered? Well, come and see. In Surah 10, verse 64, it says, There is no way to alter God's words. That will be the supreme achievement. No alteration. And in Surah 6, verse 34, messengers before you have been rejected, yet they held firm on being rejected and abused until our support came to them. There is no way to change God's words. So no alteration and no change to God's words. The Bible is the book of God and the words of God. How then could it be changed and altered? So here now. Yes, I will give you a chance. So right now, if a Muslim, any Muslim, challenges the Bible as being altered and tampered with, then he challenges the Quranic verses as being not true.
You know, sometimes we tell our brothers and sisters in Islam, there is no way to change. Then they say, it means the Quran. But the verse that Your Holiness has just said, I mean the one talking about the previous books, not only the Quran.
Not only one verse, that's about 20 verses, all testifying that it has been sent down from God and by God. So how can God's words be altered? The Holy Scriptures are the Word of God. So how can God's words be altered? This is a big question mark. And if any Muslim tells me that the Holy Bible has been altered, tampered with, or distorted, I tell him, you are challenging the Quran as false. Because then your Quran says that God's words can be changed because it testifies it's right. I'm going to quote someone who told me something really nice. He said, I'll go along with you for 3 minutes and believe that the Holy Bible has been altered.
I think I know this person.
I mean, God revealed the Torah and had it altered. He let it be altered. Then God revealed the Zabur and let it be altered. And he sent down his books to Abraham and God knows what, and he let them be altered. And he revealed the book to Jesus. And he let it be altered. And then he revealed the Quran, and you claim that it has not been altered. How can I trust God after all that, after having altered 4 or 5 books?
After 4 or 5, he has learned the lesson when it came to the last one.
You're now making me suspicious that God's power can preserve his books, right? You know these things. They're not logical. Nonsense.
Okay, Father. Apart from the testimony of the Holy Bible, and apart from the Quran's testimony of the veracity of the Injil, logically speaking, are there any logical evidences confirming the impossibility in distorting the Bible?
Yes, of course. The first logical thing is the story I've just told you, that God altered and altered and again altered, and then it came only to the Quran. What assurance then do I have that the Quran has not been altered, since God is unable to preserve? That's logic. The second logic is a question I'd like to ask of those who claim such a thing. Where do you think the Bible has been altered? Where exactly? Since before Muhammad it hasn't been altered, it has not been altered, and the Quran and Muhammad testify to that effect. After Muhammad, I mean after the 7th century AD, when Christianity has been all over the world, so where has it been altered? In Egypt, or in Iraq, or in Syria, or England, or in France? Where has it been altered? Where? What place? The other logical question is, who? I wonder, who committed the distortion? Had the Jews distorted their own book?
No way.
Have the Christians distorted their own book? Or have the two agreed together and distorted both? Well, we need to see that. We need to look and try to reply to that. Okay then. In what language has it been altered? Has it been altered in Arabic, or has it been altered in Greek, or has it been altered in French, or in English? Or has it been altered in Syrian? In which language has it been altered? And has it remained unaltered in the other languages? Or have all of them been altered? This is an issue. So right now the question that arises is...
Okay, we will reply. Apart from the biblical testimony, we're done with that. Is there a proven scientific fact that testifies to the veracity of the Bible?
Yes, that's correct. But before I deal with this scientific fact, I want to reply to those questions. Would you like me to address the viewers about them?
Yes, please do.
The first assumption is, where has the Bible been altered? Where has that happened? We ask, in which country has the alteration taken place? It's a well-known fact that the Holy Bible had been already spread to all countries of the world. In the 7th century itself, it had reached everywhere. Asia, in the continent of Asia, in Africa, in Europe. It has been everywhere, the Holy Bible. So, in which country has it been altered? Okay, and when it had been altered in a country, How would it have been altered in the other countries?
So the one who did the alteration must have gone all around the world.
Would he have gathered the entire world in the Organization of the United Nations and commanded them to agree on the alteration of the Bible? Has the entire world ever agreed on one thing? The other bit, who committed the alteration? When you say the Torah and the Injil, and they are books that we possess, the Torah and the Injil, they are with us here and we carry them. Here they are. Here is the Torah and here is the Injil. This here is the Torah, and this here is the Injil. Are you following? Here, the book of the New Testament. Here is the Torah and the Injil, and we have kept them since the time Christ came. And the Jews had only that. Today, when we review what we've got and what the Jews have got, we find them exactly the same.
Exactly the same. And will they ever be quiet?
They will never keep silent if we alter it.
Neither shall we hold our peace if they alter it.
So who's going to carry out the alteration, and who will keep silent to the alteration? This is the other bit that I'd like to say. The third bit, which concerns
the scientific fact.
No. First, in which language? In which language has the alteration taken place? The Holy Bible has been written and translated into all the languages of the world up till the 7th century AD. It had been written and translated into all the languages of the world, and there were three major denominations: Orthodoxy, and Catholicism, and Protestantism. And it's well known that they all split apart from one another.
From the Mother Church.
When they split apart, which of them made the change of the Bible? Had the Catholics changed it? Had the Orthodox changed it? Had the Protestants changed it? But we all carry the same Bible.
And would they keep silent about it?
Would they have let it pass? And the important thing today, go ahead and buy a Catholic copy, an Orthodox copy, and a Protestant copy. Read them, and you'll find all of them the same.
You know, Father, sometimes they say there are changes, and we want to clarify to them that the changes have to do with the translations, but the meaning is the same.
Exactly. As we have said before, the seven letters of the Quran.
You mean they better be quiet.
Well, otherwise I will repeat it again, and I'm willing. Well, what about the burning of the six copies?
Okay, that's enough now.
I don't want to stir up the viewers, okay? They're nice people, and they're watching now. And I should also be considerate to them, shouldn't I? And about that, Mr. Ahmed Amin said in his book, Duhal Islam, Volume 1, page 358, he said, a group of the leading men of the prophetic tradition and jurisprudence and theology claimed that alteration took place in the interpretation, not in the inspired text. And the argument of these people is that the Torah had been well known all over the world before the emergence of Muhammad, and only God knows the number of its copies. And it is impossible to alter and change by the collection of those copies, namely, to bring all the copies together and conspire so that all the copies of the earth would have been altered and changed. And the alteration must be consistent, which the mind finds preposterous and testifies to its validity. Now, whose words are these?
I was about to ask, who is this father? Again, in order to confirm.
Mr. Ahmed Amin, who wrote Duhal Islam, Volume 1, page 358.
Namely, a thinking scholastic man.
Islamic.
Yes, Islamic.
And a historian. And he says it's impossible because, he says, how could they gather all those books and alter them? Yes, being so many. Isn't that right? So that it's impossible in any world language, neither is it possible anywhere in the world. Nor can anyone in the entire world do this change, because it had already spread into all the countries of the world. How could they gather them and change them?
And now we come to the scientific confirmation. There is an established scientific fact testifying to the veracity of the Holy Bible, which is the testimony of archaeology. So could you please clarify that to the honorable viewers, the scientific and the archaeological testimony?
Of course, certainly. Archaeology is a science that cannot lie, can it? We have in archaeology manuscripts of the Holy Bible, ancient ones. well kept until today, and whoever wants to make sure they exist, they can go to the places I will speak about and have a look at the original manuscript.
Whoever wants?
Yes, whoever wants. The Vatican Codex, which is now in Vatican, dates back to 250 years before Islam. It's a well-kept manuscript, 250 years before Islam. If you compare it today, you find it exactly the same as the one we have, and it's in the Vatican, in Rome. Another codex, called the Sinaiticus, attributed to Sinai, was discovered in St. Catherine's Monastery in the Sinai. It dates back also to 200 years before Islam, and it is now in the British Museum in London. The Codex Alexandrinos, the Alexandrian one, dates back to 200 years before Islam also, and it also is in the British Museum. I have seen all these manuscripts with my own eyes. And more recently than all that, and more powerful too, the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls. I will not talk about them. Yes, but I will cite an Islamic author who talked about it. His name is Mr. Abbas Mahmoud Al-Aqad. I don't think he needs any introduction. He wrote in the Hillel book, in the December issue, in 1959, the following. The Treasures of the Qumran Valley, under the title, The Treasure of the Qumran Valley. These archaeological scrolls have been discovered in a cave in Qumran Valley, in the east of Jordan. Scrolls dating back to 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years dating from 1959. All right? Namely, more than six centuries prior to Islam. And it appeared after the preparation of the discovered scrolls to reading that the most important thing they contain was a complete copy of the book of Isaiah and several of the other holy books. And that, now pay attention to the report of, what's his name? Abbas Mahmoud Al-Aqad. And that there exists no difference or no alteration between them and the books existing in our hands now. That's Abbas Mahmoud Al-Aqad, who wrote The Genius of Muhammad, The Genius of Christ. He testified. So here is the testimony of what? Of archaeology.
Excuse me, because our time has run out. We thank you, Reverend Father, for these clarifications and for providing us with evidence not only from our side, but evidence that leaves no room for doubt. Concerning the veracity of the Bible, we thank you, and we look forward to more interviews. My dear viewers, we thank you for being a good listener. I repeat once again, if you would like a Bible or any religious books, please mail us, and we will mail them to your address. We thank you. Till we meet again. Thank you.